Colossians chapter 3. While you're turning there, Proverbs 15 says, "The way of life is above to the wise." This is my message to you tonight. I want to encourage the person here that feels like they're sliding back, the person who's feeling lukewarm or maybe lost vision in your spiritual walk. I want to encourage you tonight. So the message is for you. The way of life is above to the wise. If you and I are going to be wise believers, we must be motivated from above. We must be. The Scripture says in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." So the wise seek and set their affections on things above. To seek something means to go after that thing, to go after it, to press into something and to drive yourself forward for something. To set your affection means to keep your mind and heart set on that thing. So God is guiding us to go after the things that are in heaven and to set, like you would a dial, to set your heart and your mind on things above. If you want to be emotionally stable in these end times, if you want to be free from anxiety, and I'm just going to say this, chemically balanced, then you must seek and set your life on things above. And I believe this message can help us today. The Bible says, "We look not to the things which are seen. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So unseen things must motivate us spiritually and drive us forward in our lives. There are many spiritual and eternal things that we will never receive unless we see them with the eyes of faith and go for those things. We have to go after, drive, seek those things. I want to say that again. There are many spiritual and eternal things that we will never receive on this earth or in heaven above unless we see those things by faith and go after those things. The Bible says in Matthew, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Violence is something urged or driven with force. Force is straining, active power, might, energy. Is this the description of your spiritual life? We say, "I need to change." But when your mind and heart is set on things above, it will absolutely change you. But you can't just decide to change. You have to set your mind. You have to set your affections on things above if you want to be changed. You will begin to live like citizens from another country. The Lord teaches us to look to heaven, to look to this heavenly country, to attend to our future, to prepare to meet me. What bride does not prepare herself for the bridegroom? They're all about that, right? This is one of the big reasons why believers have so much anxiety. They're not going after or driving forward or pressing into that heavenly country, but they are mindful of the country from whence they came. They're mindful of the world all around us. The Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Is God ashamed of you? Is God preparing a city for you? Look at the contrast. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They simply obey the fleshly appetites. We all have this problem, but we can't give over to it. We can't overindulge in food and the things that are all around us. The people are given to sex and drugs and food and drink and sports and just stuff. All the stuff of the earth. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Where is the life? Where is the peace? Don't answer this question out loud, but in your heart. Do you say to yourself, "I just don't know how to live"? You're carnally minded. The spiritually minded person knows how to live. He puts the kingdom of heaven first. He puts the king. Everybody knows the needs that we have. We have earthly needs and earthly desires because we are creatures of the earth. We know, everybody knows that. Believers know that. But God says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We can have things. We can desire things without being covetous. But we can have things. And He says, if you seek the kingdom of heaven, these needs and these things that you need will just be added to you. And all these things that we need from the earth, we have to realize that first we have to go after eternal things. And those things will be added. Things that are not seen. Things that are not seen. For the wise seek and set their affection on things above. Then secondly, the wise invest their time, abilities, and possessions on things above. Because that's what we have. We have time. We have some talents. We have some treasures. And that is what we have to work with. And that's what we have to invest in God's kingdom. But what motivated me for this message was these things. I began to think, what are these things God's wanting us to zero in on? And so I just, of course, went to the Bible and started writing down everything that's in heaven. And I had pages. I was amazed. I didn't know that there was just trees and roads and doors and thrones and just seas. There's just stuff. There's just all kinds of stuff that you can write down in heaven, things that are in heaven. And I'm thinking, oh, I need to think about these things. And it all boils down to two things, two categories, a king and a kingdom. He's saying, set your affections on a king and a kingdom. Set your mind and your heart and your life on these things. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are gathered into a person. He is our main object. We have a king. And we are to be one with Him. We are to be like Him. We will be with Him. We want to please Him. He is our future. The Bible says He is our life. He's our creator. He alone deserves the best of our times, talents, and treasures. That is what we are to yield over to and to desire and to go after. And then a kingdom, His throne, and our future rule and reign in a kingdom. Did you realize, and let me ask you, are you preparing to sit in the throne with Jesus Christ? You say, that sounds blasphemous. The Bible says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. There's much to overcome for on this earth. There is a throne that we are to sit upon. He says we'll sit in His throne. We're obviously kings and priests. We obviously have thrones and a priestly work. But I'm saying we should deeply, deeply be concerned about the future world. That should motivate us to no end. Since I've been serving the Lord, I've been so concerned and motivated by the judgment seat of Christ. The thoughts that I will stand one day before my Creator and look into those eyes and give an account for my life on this earth. It drives me personally. And I am concerned about preparing to see my Maker. And concerned, the more I study the Bible, I'm concerned about the future. I know and I realize that right now is the only time I have to prepare for the future. And it bothers me a bit because I know that this spiritual life is a calling. But that calling will be over with when we die. It's not going to always be there. We have like the young man, he has opportunity. He chooses his wife. He chooses his job. He chooses all these things that are going to last him the rest of his life. That's what we're doing on this earth. We're laying up treasures. We're setting ourselves for a king and a kingdom. And that call is now. That opportunity is now. Your eternal state when you die will be set. When you get to heaven, you are who you are. You will be who you have become here on this. Oh, yes, you will glorify God. I want you to get this. You will glorify God when you get to heaven, but your capacity to glorify Him is set by how you glorified Him on this earth. Have you ever thought about that? And they that be wise, those that live life from above, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness shall as the stars forever and ever. That's different degrees of glory. That's Daniel 12:3. And there's Corinthians that speaks about this. But I want to say that all believers do have a place prepared for them in heaven. You are seated with Christ in heaven right now. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, so we will glorify God when we get to heaven because of these promises. But don't let Satan blind you to the fact that this earth is the opportunity place to gain reward for the future kingdom. And right now, you can lay up useful treasure in heaven. What in the world do we need treasure for in heaven? I have no clue. I mean, are we going to just bring people in and show them this treasure that's a testimony of what I did on this earth for the Lord? Or what's that? Or do we need this treasure to spend in the millennium? I have no clue. That's a funny one. But I'm saying, what do we need this treasure for? Why does He encourage us to lay up this treasure in heaven? We will rule and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years on this earth. That's a wonderful announcement from the Word of God. We can bank on this. We will see our Maker, then we will enter into a kingdom and we will rule and reign with Him. We are priests and kings. Kings have thrones. Priests do work in the temple. They bring people to God. They work with people for the Lord. There is a new Jerusalem. There is a new earth. There is a new heaven created. But all people will not be equal in this kingdom in rank, in inheritance, or in their capacity to glorify God. We just chunk it all together and say, oh, just give me a cabin in the corner of glory. That's all. I just want to make it. I just want to make it. That we've missed it. We've missed it. There's just too many scriptures that lead us to say, wow, we need to drive forward. We need to lay up treasure. We need to recognize. Listen to Jesus. He tells a story about our future. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He will return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That means to busy oneself with, to take possession of. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept laid up for thee in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou wert an austere man, means severe man. He's a Bible scholar. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou dost not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury, with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Here's the principle. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. Are we preparing to receive a kingdom with our Lord that went to a far country? Where is your pound? Where is your pound? Do you know that our Lord is severe? We must take authority over our pound. We must have authority over our time, abilities, possessions that God has given us, and invest them in His kingdom. Because we shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with Him for 1,000 years. And even after the 1,000-year rule and reign with Christ, we go on as priests and kings forever and ever. Right? It's not just that 1,000 years, but it's forever. We're set up as kings and priests and doing the work of the Lord and loving and serving the Lord. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve Him, shall serve and obey Him. There's so much more to come. There's so much to get prepared for. Are you preparing for the judgment seat of Christ? The Bible says every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it shall be. Every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he work built, it's just, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Can you imagine standing before our Creator and watching our whole life's work go up in smoke? Can you imagine that that could happen to us because we are caught up in this world system? We're caught up in our houses and our lands and our education and politics, and we're just concerned, we're overwhelmed with the world that we look at and see, and we are not concerned and setting our and seeking and setting our affections on things above, a king and a kingdom that we will live forever and ever in. We must prepare. And we're caught up in these things, and we're not caught up in this kingdom of God and in the eternal souls of our children or our parents or our grandparents or our grandchildren or our family and friends and neighbors and people we work with. We so much don't care that we don't even have lost friends. It's a shame that we as God's people hardly even know lost people. We've surrounded ourselves with believers. We don't even know. We should join some skeet shooting club or go fishing with some lost guy or something. Just get lost friends and bring them to the Lord. They need a relationship these days. People need you. People need you to give them the gospel over and over, and they can be saved. I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me when I see Him face to face. I would love to hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I would love to hear Him say, "You brought glory to me on this earth." I mean, what a great blessing that would be to go to the judgment seat of Christ, just wore out, sweating, bleeding, clothes tore, muddy, dragging the Word of God, and fall down before the Lord, exhausted from the work of the Lord, and for Him to just say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Oh, would you not like that? It won't happen unless we go for it, unless we seek it. We must seek it. And I believe when we, let me say this, that'll be a blessing. Amen. But we must wake up to this truth. We must get up to this truth. And then God will help us to go for these things. We have to wake up and get up and give our lives and seeking these things above. The Scripture says, "Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest." Now we can go to sleep. I can go to sleep spiritually in a day. I don't know. It's like, you know, a spiritual life is a moment by moment dedication and a drawing yourself in and beating this body under subjection and pulling your mind back and just say, "Lord, help me. Help me not to lust. Help me not to be prideful." It's a battle. God says, "Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light." When you hear something like this, a message like this, it should stir us and wake us up. But we have to move upon it then. It doesn't matter if it stirs it. It doesn't matter if we awaken unless we move upon it. That's the faith part, to make that move. So He says, "Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly," very carefully, not as fools, just living in your own natural inclinations of the world around you, "but as wise, living life from above, redeeming the time." You older folks, "Oh, I wish I could just do it like this young guy and give." You can buy back time, regardless of what you hear. The redeeming the time. Buy back that lost time. Buy back that lost time. Walk circumspectly, live life from above, redeem the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, just mindful of this country, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's the verse above it. To be wise. To be wise. Remember the prodigal son? He was living in the world system with the hogs. And when he came to himself, he said, "I will arise and go to the Father." But that wasn't good enough. The next verse was what made it good. "And he arose." And he arose. That's the faith. That's the faith. "And when the Father saw him, he had compassion." That's the great principle of the Scripture. "Wherefore He saith, Awake." The Lord awakens us through a message like this, or any Scripture, or any message. And we come to a spiritual realization and a wake up. And then we must arise. That's the faith. We have to arise. We have to say, "Okay, that's what I need. Now I must do this. I must do the work of getting up from the dead." And then we get light. That's the good, wonderful principle. Again, in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So when the Lord knocks, we have to open the door. We have to open the door and he will come in. That's our faith move. So we have to wake up and get up and we will receive light from the Lord, how to get through these problems and through this world system and how to live this life from above, because he's coming. The king is coming and he's bringing a kingdom, and we must wake ourselves up and recognize it's just so easy to fall asleep and to be concerned, over concerned, and get mentally ill by looking and living with all this stuff around us. We have to look to the king and the kingdom. And I want to give you this last thought. You must lift yourself up. The Bible says, lift yourself up. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You know, I've always heard it. You can't lift yourself up by your bootstrings. A lost man can't, but you are commanded to. We as believers are commanded to lift ourselves up. And the feeble knees and the hands that hang down, it's just so hard. It's so hard spiritually, and I just don't, it's not like it used to be, and the preachers are this and it's not. But we have to lift it up. And he says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame is turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So we get discouraged, we hang down, our knees are spongy and weak, and God says, lift yourself up. Lift this up, make straight paths, lest I turn you out of the way. But rather choose healing. Let it be healed. I hope you see that. I hope you understand how much falls upon us to be spiritual. The Lord awakens us, but it's all in our hands. Our future, the glory that we want to give Him. That's why we're different from the animals. We have this choice. And He says, stir yourselves up. He says, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. It's like we must stir ourselves up. We know the truth, and the faith part is not knowing it. We deceive ourselves by thinking we know this, but we're not doing it. We know that we should do this, but we're not doing it, so we deceive ourselves. But we must stir ourselves up. And they came, and I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Moses, he's trying to build a temple, and the Bible says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit made him willing. Not God's spirit, but his own heart stirred him up. Okay, they're building a temple. Then his spirit, his own spirit, made his flesh willing to get out there and build the temple. That's the way it works. And everyone whose heart stirred him up came to the work to do it. That's how it works. Oh, I'm waiting on God to stir me up. You'll die in your sins waiting on God to stir you up. He commands us to stir ourselves up and call upon the name of the Lord. Of course the Lord is working. Of course He's convicting and guiding, but we have to stir ourselves and go with this. We have to seek, drive forward, overcome this flesh and the food and the stuff of the world, and go for God. Go for this King. Go for this King. Our God is a deliverer. Our God is a good. But He says this, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? He's speaking of no man. He's saying, man up. This is what he's saying. He's saying, be a man. Be a man. And I saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Be the man. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I'm looking for somebody that will just be the man, play the part of the man that's created in my image. I've created him. Now he must square his shoulders up. The woman must stand forward for God. And he's saying, but I couldn't find one. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. Why the wrath of God? The fierce wrath of God. Simply because there was no man. There was no man. What are you going to do in our generation, in your lifetime? The Lord really simply says, man up. Man up. Be zealous and repent. Just be zealous and repent. Joshua, he's laying before the Lord. He lost the battle and people have died. And he's like, Joshua's more of a man than I'll ever be. But I'm going to take advantage of his weakness here. And Joshua says, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs from their enemies and the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and they shall envern us round, they shall surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do for thy great name if we're dead? And God comes on the scene, and the Lord says to Joshua, get thee up! Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned. They've broken my commandment. They've transgressed my covenant. Get up and deal with this sin. And then win the battle. Just fix this. Deal with this sin. The Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. That's Paul saying, man up. Remember this. God's telling Israel, I've done this and this and that. I've been with you from the womb to the hoary head. And I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. And he says, remember this now and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. He's saying, you're created in my image. Wake up. You are strong. You are created in my image. Be godly. Shake yourselves. Quit you like men. Show yourselves men. These are Bible words. And he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me. Show yourselves men. Come after me. Go after me. Go for me. Come for me. Be spiritual. God said to Job, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Just get up and let's talk about this. This is what God is expecting. He's saying, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. The Lord expects us to play the man, to play the man, to get up, to have courage. He says, the first thing he says is to add to your faith, virtue, courage. Have courage enough to say, no, I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit. That's the first step, is to strengthen up, to get up, to gird up your loins. We have been chosen by the King to put the kingdom of God first and not to be entangled with the affairs of this life, but to please Him with all our resources and to man up to this great calling of this future King and kingdom. We have to get up and stand up. We have a King, and we're going to a kingdom. We must be zealous and repent and remember that the way of life is above. The way of life to the wise, the trails, the roads of life for the wise believer is above, or we're going to just spiral down with this world system. We have another system that we draw our strength from. And it's the King of Kings. And we are going to a kingdom. And we should prepare. You will regret not preparing. We will regret not preparing for our future. We must shake ourselves, shake this off, this world system, and live life from above. Amen.